Let's pause in the silence before we go on with the allegory, the journey in consciousness. While you do, consider your divinity now, please. See the human flesh as a snapshot appearing in time, in space. If you could actually see it just as an instant, you would see it as a snapshot. And then each succeeding moment is another snapshot, another snapshot, another snapshot. It is a continuity of snapshots, all separated, but run so fast together that you never know, from the visual standpoint, that this is nothing more than a motion picture called form, pieced together by the speed of light. And you are not in it. You are not in the human flesh. With each command given to Noah, we realize the great self-discipline that is required of us. We are being given the keys to building the soul body. For actually, Spirit is not instructing Noah, and it's not happening 3,000 years ago. But Spirit now is instructing us, using Noah as a symbol of you. What Noah does, you and I must do. And it becomes clearer and clearer that we must cultivate an alert capacity. Let nothing enter our consciousness as human flesh, as matter. It's a big order. But that's how you are going to make the word flesh. Whatever hits your consciousness must be redeemed from the human to the divine. Whatever enters your consciousness must enter the ark. It enters as human flesh, but the moment it enters the ark, it has entered your consciousness that it is divine. That's your ark. And the reason you must do this is because the will of God has not created human flesh. And so there is none. And the mind of God, which is the only mind, knows no human flesh. And so if you know human flesh, you are not in the mind of God, you are in a second mind, in a false mind. Actually, if you're in a second or false mind, you're separated from God. So the great clue here is that as flesh starts to enter your mind, you must be alert. It must hit your awareness that only Spirit is. And that is how you build your spiritual art. The Christ mind knows no flesh. If you stray into the belief of flesh, you stray out of the Christ mind. And if you do not have the Christ mind, you are really declaring that you are not the Christ, the child of God. And so your ship will sink before you start. You cannot know human flesh and be Christ too. You can see that this is where you must cover your vessel inside and without with pitch, with the knowledge of the oneself. We could work on this through conversation for another 20 years, and it would do little good if you did not now grasp this point and take it to heart and go out and work with it. You understand it. Now work with it. Come thou, and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. If you are faithful to the instructions given, the word begins to form in you. And this is the meaning of your righteousness. This careful daily discipline in which you know one invisible Christ instead of 100 separated appearances in the flesh. This is the real laboring in the Father's vineyard. And this is loving your neighbor as thyself. This is the key to the soul body. No flesh. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by 7, the male and the female, and of beasts that are not clean by 2, the male and his female. And the unclean beasts are the visible flesh you see. Those who walk into your consciousness. The secret of how to redeem them is given by the clean beasts in 7s. This refers to the invisible, perfect patterns that are always present and invisibly manifest. The divine image is there, even though you are seeing the mental snapshots of the senses on a cosmic scale. The perfect patterns are there. The clean beasts are the invisible perfect patterns that God has placed before us. Even where your eyes are seeing unclean beasts or mortal beings. All flesh goes through the 7 stages of consciousness, of which flesh is only one stage. Flesh is actually unfinished. Visibly incomplete, but invisibly all is complete and perfect spirit. Invisibly, all 7 stages of consciousness are already completed. So even though a limited human or animal appears to your consciousness, you must make the word flesh there too. Go all the way. Do not accept the visible as you see it, but accept it invisibly manifest where it has already gone through its 7 stages of Christhood. In other words, accept it clean, accept it perfect, not unclean, not imperfect. A fowl also of the air, my 7th. Fowls of the air are divine thoughts, as contrasted to human thoughts. Flesh comes to you as unclean thought. But as it passes through your consciousness filled with divine thought, you are making flesh clean, perfect, immortal, divine. You are fulfilling the great truth that spirit is all. And so piece by piece, step by step, we're discovering that no one is actually going into an ark made of gopher wood. We're being taught instead that everyone is entering our consciousness. and that they are all invisible spirits, the same one self. And so just as you've been practicing, I am the omnipresent self during the past month, that is precisely what the Noah allegory is teaching mankind in the Bible. Into your consciousness, whoever comes must be known by you as the one omnipresent I am. You are making the word flesh. All flesh is my invisible spirit. This has been misperceived by the senses. But when you know this, you are bringing all thy house into the earth. The whole man is being transmuted. You are building a vessel that can sail through any flood, through any world condition, right out of the valley of the shadow of death. The whole process is just like a baby being born. Did you ever realize that a baby is born in the 40th week? Or that the so-called body of Jesus was in the grave for 40 hours? That there were 40 days after resurrection before ascension? 40. Whether it's hours, days, weeks, or years, is always the symbol of the beginning of a new cycle. The newborn babe spends 40 weeks of prenatal growth in the womb. Then the germ of human life incubates. 40 symbolizes total purification and the incubation into a new beginning. 40 days on Mount Sinai. 40 years in the wilderness. 4 raised 10 times is a city that lieth 4 square. The fourth dimension of consciousness is a foundation for more building. Always we're cautioned to do our spiritual work with trust, not to push ahead, not to try to force an activity that has not yet unfolded in its true divine sequence. To learn the omnipresence of your infinite self requires patience and diligence. Accepting every invisible form that your eye cannot see as your invisible self. And knowing that it is the way to the greatest treasure on earth, the kingdom of eternal life. The next 7 days. And I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Still, there are 7 more degrees of oneness to be fulfilled in your consciousness. 7 is always the symbol of transmutation. The 7 persons you took into the ark of consciousness, humanity, must be transmuted. Sons and wives must be oned. Male and female must be oned before Noah and his wife can be one. And all 40 days and nights symbolize the overcoming of all material sin, turning everything into spiritual rebirth. When there are no more positives and negatives, no more male and female, no dualities, then in 6 degrees, represented by the 3 sons and the 3 wives, are completed, and the mystical marriage of Noah and his wife becomes the 7th day. Or, the male and female of you are united into oneness. And out of that is born the new man, the Christ man, who walks in the body of the soul, which is the destruction of all material sin. We're cleansed of all belief in mortality, duality, all personal selfhood is realized never to have existed. The ark is ready to weather the deluge of mortal mind. And Noah did, according unto all that the Lord commanded him. The name Noah has an important significance. It means wholeness. The circle completed. In Noah, the sixth day becomes the seventh when God rests. The wholeness is attained when the end and the beginning are united as one. When we return to selfhood. That's Noah. The end and the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. In Greek, the word Noe means divine mind. And in Hebrew, the word Noah is a feminine word. That's the A-H on the end of it. And it means divine principles projected into or impregnated into matter. In French, the word Noël means the birth of divine mind. And in Greek, the word Arche, A-R-C-H-E, probably pronounced differently, but it's spelled A-R-C-H-E. It means to the beginning. It means the beginning, like seed. Is the beginning of a new generation. And all this is telling us that Noah in the ark is a symbol of a new beginning, of man's regeneration from the third dimension of mortality into the fourth dimension of spiritual awareness and immortality. And we find a very strange corroboration of this truth in the Bible in the words of Ezekiel. This is very interesting. I'd like to turn to it for a moment. It's Ezekiel 14, and the verse is also 14. 14:14. And here Spirit is speaking about the house of Israel, which, of course, is spiritual consciousness. And here's what Spirit says. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, meaning they were in spiritual consciousness, in Israel, that is, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Now, that's a very interesting statement because it informs us that our soul body is available, but it's going to do you no good if you wait for Noah or Jesus Christ or anyone else or time to build it for you. And then, in a very strange and wonderful way, Spirit does this. Verse 14, which you just heard, is then repeated almost word for word in verse 16, and again in verse 18, and finally again in verse 20. So that you have the same statement in four verses, 14, 16, 18, and 20. Always telling us that we must do the work ourselves. And it gives us that information four times, indicating that we must rise above the third dimension, into the fourth, where the window of the soul can transmute Shem, Japhet, and Ham, and their wives, all within you, from the mirage of mortal flesh, into the divine soul body, which is the ark of freedom, for you and for mankind. Ham symbolizes the outer man And it is said about the outer man that the flesh profiteth nothing. We're all in the state of Ham in mortality. And flesh and blood, or Ham, cannot inherit the kingdom of earth, the kingdom of heaven on earth. Now, Shem is the inner spiritual life. But Japheth is the core of fire from that light that is fused as you work with the omnipresent self-consciousness. So that the three suns become the three remaining cycles that we are traveling on to enter the kingdom of heaven on earth. It is said now that Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. I'm quite sure this is not his physical age, but that it is soul language, but his spiritual age. We all have a spiritual age. You are going through a preparation for the same two floods. There were two floods there, not one. There was the flood of world hypnotism, and there was the flood of spirit, spiritual light within. As one increases, the other increases. The more light you receive, the more the flood of hypnotism increases, because that's how you're lifted deeper and higher into the light. By daily principles, practiced faithfully, we learn to live outside the sense mind, which is out picturing an unreal world of matter. And in our temporary arc, which is the human body, the human mind, we live outside the sense mind as we let the fowls of the air, divine thought, enter our experience, changing our thought substance so that dramatically our new thought substance, being divine, begins to outpicture a heavenly world. We begin to experience the new arc, the body of radiant life, which makes the journey from incarnation to discarnation safely under God's government. And this is a totally different experience than human death. In your preparation, while you are still appearing in human flesh, you reach the spiritual age of 600, which means that you have completed 6 degrees. Six qualities hidden within have been quickened, energized, and released. The soul has been imprisoned all these years in a false sense of body, but now the soul is no longer imprisoned, and it conceives your soul body, which is now ready to cross the waters, to see the golden sunrise at the end of the fourth watch of night. Each of us is going through the journey in which we find our second mother. First in the ark of incarnate flesh, we are born of water, born of the human mother. And in the second ark of divine flesh, we are delivered from the second womb into the spiritual universe. Noah is now ready for the crossing over. The changing of six pots of water into wine at the wedding in the city of Cana had the identical meaning as the 600 years of Noah. It's a sign that the divine body you're building from within, by change of thought, from human to divine, is ready for the great Genu debut from within and from without. Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. We have a reminder here that you are in the sixth degree only when there are no more sons, no more relatives, no more people, when they've all disappeared within your country. When you accept their invisible reality as one spirit, one flesh, divine, then you are no longer serving the senses. Now you are a faithful servant of spirit. When you've done this with the clean beasts, and of the beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, when you've overcome material distinctions between male and female, seeing one spirit where separate male and female seem to be. And so there went in two and two unto Noah unto the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. Each two was transformed by Noah's consciousness into one spiritual presence. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. It is this knowledge that you practice of only one spiritual presence over the earth, over the waters, and over the sky, maintained even in the midst of all material world appearances around you. This is where the second birth takes place. These are the labor pains. You're standing fast in the one spirit, while the whole world knocks at your door, and while you know that nothing is there except one infinite spirit. This breaks the bubble of cosmic hypnotism. And spirit moves all false material sense out of its path. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, the windows of heaven were opened. Within this sixth degree, there's something very special happened. Not in the second calendar month. The second month is simply another mystical code. It means the number two. And the 17th day of the month is part of the same code. Take the two numbers of 17, 1 and 7, add them together, and that gives you 8. To that you add the number 2, and you have a total of 10. So the second month and the 17th day of the month are a mystical code for the number 10. Now, in esoteric language, the number 10 signifies the 10th door. And this is also known as the spiritual eye. Jesus referred to it when he said, if your eye be single, your body will be full of light. The spiritual eye, or the 10th door, is the first degree of the seventh heaven. It is here that the birth in the second womb is taking place. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. That means hold this consciousness. Hold it. Stand fast. Don't let the belief in flesh enter. Conquer it. Be still and know omnipresent spirit is all. Let the world rain its cyclones and its floods, and let the winds howl. Let the very foundations of your human life shake, but cherish the new life growing within. Protect it. Safeguard it with the umbrella of your spiritual consciousness. Treasure that divine child that's being born within you above all else, that the Word may be made flesh, and for you, heaven will open. Patient. Spirit reminds us again and again that the male and the female of all flesh went into the ark with Noah, so that we will understand that Spirit requires us to redeem all flesh. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and was lift up above the earth. As you are faithful to omnipresent Spirit, rejecting the belief in separated forms of flesh, you are lifted above worldly concept. Without trying to overcome time and space, it is overcome. For you are inside the ark of oneness, and while the world hypnosis rises all around you, your love of spirit being total, above personal sense, in absolute faith that only spirit is and spirit is perfect, this spiritual faith becomes the invisible ark within you, which lifts you above the earth, above every false material power. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubit upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. 15 cubits. 1 and 5, total 6. Your consciousness is moving up another degree to another seventh day as you stand fast in the flood of cosmic impetus. Finally, material consciousness must die, and Christ is born. Conscious union with God is realized, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. One spiritual self realized. Omnipresent, without opposite. Is that not clear? That the world was not being buried, but that in consciousness, the writer was explaining that we overcome the material sense of the universe. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive. And they that were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed upon the earth, 150 days. Only Noah remained alive. In that one phrase, you can find the reason that the true story of Noah's Ark couldn't be written in the Bible as you're hearing it today. Could the writer say, I have reached the point where I know that I am the only man alive? You know he would have been stoned to death or put into a straitjacket. What good could come out of such a strange utterance when nobody at that time could possibly understand him? Moses never could say, I am the only man alive. But he could say, I am that I am. And that means, beside I am, there is no other. Even Jesus didn't say, I'm the only man alive, but he did say, I have overcome this world, meaning I have overcome the belief that there's another self in God. So the writer of the great truth of oneness had to have the world die in a flood. He couldn't have it die in the consciousness of Noah because the human mind was not ready for such a revelation. The earth and all it contained was not being destroyed in a flood. The flood of cosmic hypnotism was destroyed in Noah's consciousness. And it was destroyed by another flood, the downpouring of divine spirit, which lifted Noah into the Christ mind, the realization that God has no opposite, for God is all. And God remembered Noah, which means that Noah was now aware of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated, and the ark rested in the seventh month of the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. Days of rain, 1 and 5, meaning 6 degrees of inner development, leading to the seventh month, the seventh degree, and the 17th day of that month, 1 and 7, meaning the beginning of another cycle of 7 degrees, like the octave. 7 notes, and the 8th note is the end of that octave, but also the beginning of the next octave. 1 and 7 mean the beginning of a new cycle of another 7 degrees. You find that a new cycle is always indicated by 40 days, 40 months, or 40 years. These new cycles always appear between progressions of 7, which is a sign of continuous transmutation. And this conveys to us the knowledge that we can never find a comfortable hole to crawl into and relax and say, this is the groove I have wanted. I know we've said this 100 times before, but Spirit too repeats to us constantly that we must always go on to the next 7 degrees, the next 7 degrees, the next 7 degrees. That the 7 days of creation, each of the 7 days is divided into 7 degrees, and each of the 7 degrees is divided into 7 degrees. It is an infinite nucleating out into the newness of spiritual selfhood. And the moment you crawl into a comfortable place where you want to stop, that's the moment you stop living in the Christ mind. It is the willingness to be totally free, with no prejudgment, no preconcept, no idea as to what you want to be, other than to be the living spirit. With no consciousness of a material world accepted. We've seen birth of Christ consciousness as it lands upon the mountains of Ararat. This is where the human world worships, in the mountains of Ararat. It's here that we worship the power of matter, of the atom bomb, of armies, of possession, the make-believe powers of science and of religion, the false material powers that we hope can control our lives. On Ararat, we worship the human mind and the false forms that it conceives within itself and imagines to be external to itself. Here we worship the false Christs who promise us salvation in their tomorrow heaven that never comes. Because heaven is here now, and that is the meaning of landing in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountain of Ararat, the realization that this is heaven, which the sense mind has not known. We're in the wrong ark, in the wrong body, in the wrong universe, in the wrong beliefs. And so we see that Mount Ararat is a symbol of world hypnotism under which the human mind functions. The false powers of the world, which the human mind obeys, fears, and tries to conquer. And Mount Ararat includes all human governments, all atoms, all particles of matter, all mental energy, all space, all time. Now the ark rests upon the mountains of Ararat because Christ consciousness, spiritual consciousness, not fleshly consciousness, breaks the world hypnotism, takes dominion over all false powers of earth, and over all matter, and over death. Noah has now put on the garment of Christ's self. That means we can. He is no longer naked. He's clothed in white linen. In the Bible, you know, nakedness means incarnation, flesh. Whoever stands in human flesh is naked. Incarnation is a state of nakedness. Adam thought he had human flesh. And so Spirit said to him, "Who told thee thou wast naked?" Meaning, you are already clothed. Your reality is divine flesh. Again, when Jesus says to his disciples, "I was naked and ye clothed me," that is a spiritual way of saying that until we overcome the material sense of human flesh and accept Christ's flesh, put on the Christ self, we are naked. Now, in his realized body of radiant soul light, Noah is no longer naked. He hasn't traveled anywhere. He didn't get into an ark and sail over an ocean. All of this journey has been in his upward lifting of consciousness. He's no longer confined in his mind by a coarse body of atoms. He realizes that he doesn't live in an incarnated body of flesh. Nothing has changed, actually. He never was incarnate. He never lived in a human body of flesh. He simply thought he did. What has changed is that the hypnotism is now broken and he knows the truth. You shall know the truth that you are not incarnate in a body of flesh, and the truth will make you free. The dream of mortality has been shattered by truth and consciousness. And this is the whole purpose of the story of building the ark, to sail safely through nothingness into reality. So now a new cycle must begin. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And in the 10th month of the first day of the month were the tops of the mountains seen. You see, every 7 days, or every 7 degrees, contains 7 steps within each of the 7 degrees. The 10th month should be translated 1 and 0. And 1 forget the zero. One, you have the first day, the first step in the first day of the new cycle. And so now we're looking out in the new world. We're now in the kingdom of God. We're no longer seeing through a glass darkly. Gradually, the fire within has purged the veil to such an extent that earth crystallizes now into transparent gold. This is now the beginning of the enchanted new cycle, heaven on earth. You believe it? Is it a story? Or is it the Spirit of God instructing us? I believe it. I believe nothing else. This must be the way of Christ. This is the way of Joel, the way of Mary Baker Eddy, the way of Methuselah, the way of Enoch, the way of Krishna, the way of the Buddha. This is the way of all who travel the Spirit. To come to the city of transparent gold. Where the eye looks out upon reality. And recognizes itself. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. He didn't shout, "Hallelujah, I've broken the veil. I'm in heaven at last." Instead, he does a very strange thing. He sends forth a raven. And the raven flies around and around until the waters were dried up from the earth. Is that surprising? You see, the raven is a natural man. The humanhood that still will not accept the rule of Christ's consciousness. Even Jesus showed that by the three temptations after his 40 days in the desert. The world mind still wants to dominate. It offers us power. It tries to restore our false self. And it uses every subtle device at its command to make us mortal again. And now Noah sends out three doves, one after another. He sends forth the first dove to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her into him, unto him, into the ark. This comes as a shock. Here we have found heaven, but the whole world still remains in cosmic hypnosis. What you're really seeing is spiritual perfection and oneness, but the whole world is still enslaved by the false powers of duality. You are seeing something that the world is not seeing. The world is seeing struggling mortal forms, totally separated from God government. And they're trying to pull you back into this world of unreality. That's the first dove. After you've pulled in the raven, the human selfhood that wants to rule the world, you know that's not your function. You're not to take dominion over the world. This is a very hard thing to realize. You're not learning how to take dominion over this world, because it would be a false dominion. There's no world to take dominion over. "I have overcome the world," said Jesus, but he didn't overcome Rome. He didn't accept the offer of the world mind to be king of all the kingdoms of the world. Christ's dominion is different. Christ's dominion is freedom from the world. It's freedom from mortal boundaries, from mortal concepts, from mortal limitations. Christ's dominion has no world to dominate, for only the kingdom of God exists. So Noah still has to do a little homework. He has to overcome the temptation to believe that a world exists. And so he stays yet another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from the earth. This olive leaf is a symbol of his own immortality. There are levels to be attained even after the first glimpse of Christ consciousness. We mustn't expect the world to know what has happened to us or to reciprocate our newly found freedom and joy. Nor can we tell them what we have found. Our function is to bless them silently with our spiritual understanding, to keep building and expanding our consciousness, to embrace the entire world as one spirit. For as we do that, the second dove will return with an olive leaf. That will indicate that part of humanity has been touched by the Christ. Living on earth, quietly building their own spiritual consciousness, there are now others, the second dove. And they are making their way to the light as we are. So continue to bless the world silently with your love and your peace. Inevitably, those spiritual ones on earth, represented by the olive leaf, will be led to build their ark of consciousness, and they too will sail safely through the hypnotism to cross over from incarnation into life. Be patient with your inner work. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again to him anymore. That's the third dove. He sends it forth, and it doesn't return to him again anymore. And that's what we want to do. The world never sees the third dove. The third dove is your invisible Christ consciousness, which lives among men, seeing no man after the flesh. When you are living in this invisible ark of oneness, the one infinite Christ self, not knowing mortality in yourself or in others, but only knowing one immortal self, regardless of how many so-called mortals appear, or how many mortal conditions appear, then your infinite, immortal selfhood is the selfhood of all who walk the earth, and your third dove is the infinite ark of oneness encircling the spiritual universe. I'd like to continue this, but I also feel that rather than continue it, I would like to break right out of this at this point, because I want you to take with you an assignment. Now, that assignment is based upon what you have heard. The third dove. But I want it to be a secret one, an assignment that you share with no one. And the reason is because if you do, you will be out of oneness. I share this assignment with you Because we are spiritual selfhood, one spiritual selfhood. I am talking to myself. I am listening to myself. There is no me. There is no you. There is our one self. And we can discuss this together. And so I ask you to treat this assignment as very secret and very sacred. Your assignment is to make the word flesh. To spend your next month building the invisible ark of Noah. Now, do not think for a moment that this is something apart from your normal everyday function. I don't care where you are, home or office. Everything you normally do must become a part of this one major goal, making the word flesh. Let's see how we're going to do that. You live somewhere. Well, I live on an island, perhaps that's the way to say it. On this island, with about 1,500 people, my assignment is to make the word flesh. And that means that I cannot see people here. I cannot begin a day unless I accept one omnipresent self on this island. And all there is on this island then is Christ. This is not Catalina Island. This is Christ Island. And there can be no activity on this island but the activity of Christ, no matter what appears. And so the name of this place, the name of the people, and the name of my identity are all one and the same. The invisible Christ self. And it's that name and identity that I must see every day faithfully, whether it's the manager of Safeway or the ticket taker at the ferry or the newsboy on the boardwalk selling the Sunday paper. Even the waves and the wind or the sunshine, or the soft mist, or the fog. Whatever happens here must be seen as the one invisible Christ. Now that is what I mean by making the word flesh. And so you must pick your area of activity. Mine just came naturally, Catalina. Wherever you are, it isn't a geographical area that you pick. But let's say you are a lawyer. You can pick the legal profession as your area, and that's not a geographical area. You can bless all those in your profession. Make the word flesh. Or if you live in a mobile home complex, you can bless all in the mobile home. Or if you're a member of a club, you can bless the club. This is your project, to make the word flesh. Not to see members of a club or people who live in a mobile home, but to see the word flesh. To see the living divine substance as all that is there. And the way to determine just how you will proceed is to first go into meditation and let Spirit tell you what group you ought to bless. That's your first step. In meditation, you're waiting for Spirit to tell you, what group shall I bless? Shall it be the people at the office? Shall it be a geographical area? Shall it be the people of my club, the people who live in my condominium? What shall I consider my area in which I make the word flesh? And the reason I say your area is world work on a vast international level never gives you the final knowledge of what you're accomplishing. So you never have confirmation of your work, and you don't build your confidence that way. It's too vague, too vast. And so we want to take a specific area. And when you see results within that area, you will build confidence that way. Then you can expand later. So first step, meditate. But don't tell the Spirit. Let Spirit define for you the scope of who, what, and where you're going to concentrate your spiritual work of making the Word flesh. And discuss this with no one.